Hi friends, this is Dr. Ralph Wilson with the Jesus Walk Bible Study Series. We're looking at disciple lessons from Ephesians. This is our last lesson, number 16, Prevailing Through Prayer, based on Ephesians 6, verses 18 to 24. Turn to your Bibles and follow along as I read. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert, and always keep on praying for all the saints. Pray also for me, that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me, so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly, as I should. Tychicus, the dear brother and faithful servant in the Lord, will tell you everything, so that you may know how I am and what I am doing. I am sending him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are, and that he may encourage you. Peace to the brothers, and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with an undying love. Let's pray. We thank you, O Lord, for these final words in the book of Ephesians from Brother Paul. I don't know, O God, what it was like to be in prison and to be facing trial and the temptation to sort of back off from the gospel, but Lord, we're faced with that kind of temptation. Thank you, Lord, for his faithfulness. Help us, O Lord, to be faithful in the hour of our own struggle, and give us the boldness to be able to speak for you as ambassadors for Christ. Teach us today. Open our hearts, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This passage is about spiritual struggle. And though we finished looking at the pieces of armor last week, we have not yet left the subject of struggle. Verse 12, for we struggle not against flesh and blood, but against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. The word struggle and wrestle in verse 12 is the Greek word pale, from Homer on down, wrestling, a contest between two in which each endeavors to throw the other and hold him down with a hand on the neck. The word is particularly used of prayer in the New Testament. The companion epistle, Colossians, uses the figure of an athletic event to describe intense prayer also. This is Colossians 1, 28 through chapter 2, verse 1. Let me read it. So that we may present everyone perfect in Christ, to this end I labor, struggling with all his energy which so powerfully works in me. I want you to know again how I am struggling for you and for those in Laodicea and for all who have not known me personally. And then Colossians 4:12, Epaphras is always wrestling in prayer for you, that you may stand firm in all the will of God, mature and fully assured. In Romans also, Paul urges his readers to join me in my struggle by praying to God for me, Romans 15:30. The Greek word agon and the verb agonizomai were first used as to engage in an athletic contest, then generally to struggle. We get our word agony from this word, though the concept of pain isn't exactly the original concept of struggling. This word is used in Ephesians 6:12 to set the stage for the battle. The battle instruction concludes with constant prayer, verses 18 through 20. If you've found that intercessory prayer isn't easy, that it is labor, struggle, then you share in this experience with the Apostle Paul. After having taken a look at prayer as wrestling and struggle, let's examine the passage at hand. Verse 18 of Ephesians 6. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Verse 18 tells us to pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. One might argue from 1 Corinthians 14, verses 14 through 16, that praying in the Spirit means praying in tongues. But the syntax is different here. Instead of using the dative case, perhaps dative of reference, as in Corinthians, in Ephesians 6:18, Paul uses the preposition en, which means in or by, to refer to the Spirit. The sense in this verse seems to be pray guided by, or inspired by, or empowered by the Spirit. Interesting, isn't it, that even to pray effectively, we need God's help. Verse 18 tells us to pray with all prayers and petitions. The difference between prayers, prosuke, and as synonym, requests or supplications, deisis, is the difference between the generic word for prayer to God and a more specific word, meaning urgent request to meet a need, exclusively addressed to God, seeking, asking, entreating, entreaty. Notice the repetition in verse 18a of the word all, giving emphasis to the command to pray on all occasions with all kinds of prayer. A very strong command indeed. Let's look at discussion question 1 based on verse 18. Why is prayer vital to spiritual warfare? What does it mean to pray in the Spirit? Now let's look at verse 18 again. With this in mind, be alert and always keep praying for all the saints. I don't know about you, but sometimes when I pray, my mind wanders. Paul's mind must have wandered too, for his exhortation contains two commands. Number one, be alert, agrupneo, to be vigilant in awareness of threatening peril. Be on the alert, keep watch over something, be on guard. Then, the state of being alertly concerned, care. We found after 9/11, that after being at a state of high alert for a while, it's a natural tendency to become lax, to slough off, to go through the motions. Paul warns us that we are at war with the devil and must pray with alertness to Satan's wiles, tricks, and feints. Chapter 6, verse 11. The second word here is persevere, pros kate rasis, firm persistence in an undertaking or circumstance. Perseverance, patience. We are to keep on keeping on with our praying, never flagging with diligence. I, for one, struggle with this alertness and perseverance in prayer. Maybe you do too. May Paul's words stimulate us to renewed diligence in prayer. Discussion question 2, based on verse 18b. Why is alertness in prayer vital to success in spiritual warfare? How is perseverance in prayer important to success? Why do we need this exhortation? Having exhorted his readers to pray for all the saints, now he requests specific prayer for himself, verses 19 through 20. Pray also for me, that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me, so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly, as I should. If prayer weren't really important, Paul wouldn't urge it so strongly. But he longs for their prayers for him, knowing that the prayers of the saints empower him in his ministry. Specifically, he asks for fearlessness or boldness, paresia, a state of boldness and confidence. Courage, confidence, boldness, frankness, especially in the presence of persons of high rank. Paul is in prison for preaching on the occasion of his arrest in Jerusalem, Acts 22, verses 1 through 12, and on every subsequent occasion at which he appeared before those who could release him. He asks for prayers that he will not slack off and compromise with fear as he awaits trial in Rome. This same kind of courage is found in Peter and John, Acts 4:13, which causes their imprisonment. After their release, they pray, "Now, Lord, Consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Acts 4:28. If Paul must ask for prayer that he might be faithful to fight the good fight of faith at his trial, how much more should we pray for one another, not only to survive and hold our own, but to be fearless in the face of opposition? We must help one another through prayer. Our natural tendency is to avoid pain and persecution. But when we are going through our most difficult struggles, people watch us most closely to see whether our faith is real or if we are just fair-weather Christians. God, give us boldness rather than a wimpy faith. Discussion question 3, based on verse 19. Why would Paul request prayer for boldness? Why is boldness necessary in war? What is the opposite of boldness? What happens if this is our accustomed life posture? Paul describes himself with a curious and paradoxical phrase, an ambassador in chains, in verse 20. The word here is presbyuo, be an ambassador or envoy, travel or work as an ambassador. It refers to one who acts as an emissary, transmitting messages or negotiations, used of envoys, imperial legates, and business agents. Paul realizes that when he appears before the Roman emperor for trial, he will do so as the representative of his government before the Roman court. Paul represents the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is the emissary of the kingdom of God, and he must not wimp out when he is given his audience. We too are ambassadors, envoys, emissaries of the kingdom of God. Paul says to the Corinthian church, with a we that includes all of us, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us, 2 Corinthians 5:20. To everyone with whom our lives intersect, we are Christ's personal representatives. When we wimp out, when we neglect to identify ourselves with Christ, when we remain silent to avoid ridicule or persecution, we do the King a disservice. Jesus said, "He who receives you receives me, and he who receives me receives the one who sent me." Matthew 10:40. What an awesome responsibility. Discussion question 4, based on verse 20. Developing this analogy of an ambassador in a foreign land, what nation has sovereignty over the embassy and its property? Who does the ambassador represent? What responsibilities does he or she have? And how do these relate to being an ambassador for Christ? Now let's look at verses 20 and 21. Tychicus, the dear brother and faithful servant in the Lord, will tell you everything, so that you may also know how I am and what I am doing. I am sending him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are, and that he may encourage you. As is customary, at the conclusion of nearly all his letters, Paul moves to personal comments. He commends to them Tychicus, the dear brother and faithful servant in the Lord. Tychicus was probably from Ephesus and was Paul's traveling companion on several occasions. He brings not only the letter to the Ephesians, but also a personal report of how the apostle is doing to encourage the believers there. Notice that Tychicus is not an outstanding preacher or fiery evangelist, but he is a dear brother, a faithful minister, and fellow servant in the Lord, Colossians 4:7. You may not be outstanding, but you can be faithful, and you can be the one who loves and is loved. Four words characterize Paul's closing benediction or blessing to his readers: peace, love, faith, and grace. Let me read it to you in verses 23 and 24. Peace to the brothers and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with an undying love. Paul began the letter with grace and peace, and so he closes it. One of the best-known verses in this great letter is probably the classic statement of what grace really is. Chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." Sometimes in her quest for holiness, the church has de-emphasized grace in favor of a tenuous and brittle righteousness achieved by great effort of the will. But the wonder of God's work through Jesus Christ is his fully free gift of salvation, undeserved and unlimited grace in exchange for heartfelt faith. Amazing. However, the word used most in this benediction is love, undying love. Love with faith from God and love for our Lord Jesus Christ with undying love. May your love be undying love for the one who has died for you, our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, in this wonderful letter of Ephesians, our eyes have been opened to many things. We pray that you would not let us take these things for granted again. I pray for my fellow comrades in arms and warriors in prayer, for my fellow ambassadors, that we might fight well, pray well, and represent you and your kingdom well to those around us until you call us home. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.